Give us water to drink. Seems like a reasonable request. And yet, under their request lies a complaint, a grumbling, a desire that they would get everything just as they wanted it, when they wanted it, and how they wanted it. This same attitude was what the Samaritan woman at the well was used to seeing. People came from all over to draw water from the well. It was Jacob's well. People would come from all over the desert climate to rest and be refreshed in the waters of Jacob. Verse 6 gives us a visual of the stage, and I especially like the King James translation for this. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Major wells in Roman Palestine had very, very large capstones, the shape of a huge donut over them. The capstone over Jacob's well in Samaria is still there today. It's 18 to 20 inches thick and about 5 feet across. And in the center of this capstone is a small hole where you can lower a bucket if you had one. You had to bring the buckets yourself. The capstone keeps dirt from blowing into the well. It prevents children from falling down into the dangerous depths. It also provides a working surface to assist travelers in transferring water into the jar or a leather bag. Jesus indeed sat on the well. And as the woman approached, common courtesy of the day would be Jesus to step away from the well at least 20 feet. But he doesn't. This simple act sets stage for this interaction with the woman at the well. So what do we know? She was a woman. A nameless woman, a nameless Samaritan woman, who goes to the village well at high noon to fill her jar with water. The other women in the village would have gone in the morning when it was cooler in the day. She was a woman. In their morning prayers, men would say, "Thank God I am not a woman." Holy men would not speak with women in public, not even their wives. Some rabbis taught that it was better to bury the Torah than entrust it to a woman. It is said there was a group called the Bruised and Bleeding Pharisees, who, when they saw a woman coming toward them on the street, would close their eyes and often walk into walls and other obstacles, bloodying their noses and skinning their knees. She was a woman, a Samaritan woman. The origin of the Samaritans is disputed. We become aware of them in biblical history during the conquest of Israel by the Assyrians and Babylonians. Foreigners came in and settled. Intermarriage took place. The result was a mixed race viewed as impure, corrupt, unclean, the Samaritans. When the Second Temple was to be rebuilt, the Samaritans offered to help. Because the Samaritans were viewed as unclean, their offer was refused. Animosity resulted and continued through the time of Jesus. We know from Luke 9, Jesus has left Galilee in the north to go south to Jerusalem to observe the Passover. He sends messengers ahead into Samaria to arrange food and lodging. Now, the Samaritans typically refused hospitality to Jews who were going to Jerusalem for religious holy days. They believed the right place to worship was where they worshiped, on Mount Gerizim, not Jerusalem. They didn't want to aid and abet wrong worship. When the messengers reported back, the sons of thunder, James and John, asked Jesus if they could call fire down from heaven to consume the inhospitable Samaritans. She was a woman. She was a Samaritan woman, and she came at high noon to the community well to fill her jar with water. Why didn't she go to the well when the other women were in the village went, when it was cooler? I believe verse 4 helps us. Hear the verse that precedes the story. Now he, being Jesus, had to go through Samaria. Jesus had to go through Samaria. Why? I believe in our gospel lesson today, Jesus models for us what the good news of God's redeeming love really entails. First, Jesus crosses boundaries that separate, exclude, and demean. Jesus ventures into Samaria, aware that he is not welcome. His religion holds that the unclean mixed people will contaminate him there. But Jesus sees beyond labels, ancient hostilities, even beyond what his religion said was truth. He had to go to Samaria. Secondly, he practices what he preaches. Recall the good news we heard last week. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. It is a world that includes women, Samaritan women. Samaritan women who feel unworthy and unwanted. Jesus asks for a drink. He demonstrates how he sees her by letting her know what he needs, she can give. Wow. What a lesson for us today. What would life at Redeemer look like if we, all of us, demonstrated that we see the other person by letting them know we need what they can offer? What better way to convey esteem for a person than to graciously receive what they have to offer? Jesus asks for a drink. Third, Jesus offers himself. He hears her confession and even protest. How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? She expresses what those who heard this story were already thinking. Jesus responds by offering himself, by offering what he must give, living water. Like Nicodemus last Sunday, she takes Jesus literally, saying, "But you have no water, and the well is deep." But whatever Jesus is talking about, the woman wants it. Fourth, Jesus is going to give her more than she can imagine, because he is willing to wade into the deep water with her. Jesus will face the truth with her. Jesus knew what is in the woman. Jesus knows what we are inside. Jesus knew that the living water of God must be experienced to be real, to be powerful, to be life-redeeming, to be life-changing. Jesus embraces who she is in her entirety, just as he embraces us today, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Brothers and sisters, the good news of God is not a concept. It's not an idea. It's not a proposition. It's not a doctrine. It is a personal experience of Holy Communion. The good news of Jesus, broken and poured out for the sake of God's beloved children. Jesus then says, "Go call your husband and come back." She responded, "I have no husband." And now she must have wished this would all end, that Jesus would drop it, this awkward, embarrassing, shameful, condemning truth of who she is. Jesus knows who she is. Jesus knows each of us. He knows what's in us. So he continues, "You've had 5 husbands, and the man you are now living with is not your husband." Now, we have tended to jump to the conclusion that she is an immoral woman. Could be her husbands have died. It could be that the Levirate law has forced the closest relatives of her husbands to assume responsibility for the widow. It could be she was unwanted property by one resentful man after another. Now she is with a man who doesn't want to marry her. It could be that her life has been like an orphan, passed from one unhappy home to another. No man wants her, and everyone knows it, including the women in the village, the women who look down their noses at her. No wonder she goes to the well in the heat of the day. Fifth, Jesus connects her experience of his love for her with God's love for the world. What do you do when someone has ventured into truth you find unbearable to acknowledge? What do you do? You do exactly what she does. She changes the subject. She says, "You Jews worship in Jerusalem. We worship on Mount Gerizim." Who's right? Jesus responds, "The day is coming when we won't worship separately. Because location, ethnicity, race, age, ritual and style will not matter. Traditional or blended worship service will not matter. Organ or guitar will not matter. Immersion or sprinkling will not matter. For the worship God desires is in spirit and truth." In spirit, because you can't worship the God of life apart from the essence of your own life. In truth, because pretense and hypocrisy are contrary to God. In truth, which means we don't substitute worship of ourselves for worship of God. The woman replies, "When the Messiah comes, he'll straighten all this out." Jesus responds, "I am," echoing the name, that voice from the burning bush he gave to Moses. Six. Sharing God's love breeds itself. This Samaritan woman who had avoided people goes into the village proclaiming, "Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done." Of course, this is an exaggeration, but he can't be the Messiah, can he? No arrogance here, no dogmatism here, no my way or the highway here. Like Peter, she says, "Come and see for yourself. He can't be the Messiah, can he?" The best witness always respects the freedom of persons to answer that question for themselves. They went. They believed. They invited Jesus to stay 2 more days, and the kingdom of God was recognized. Barriers came down. Enemies became friends. They worshiped God together in spirit and truth. God was glorified. Jesus came into the world that we may see and commune with him. Jesus is the one who gives living water so that you will never thirst. Jesus is the one who knows you and what you are. Jesus is the one who knows you and you for what you are right now and loves you all the way to the cross and death. In Exodus, the people grumbled at the Lord because they did not understand what he was giving them. He did not simply come to rescue them from oppressors. He came to be their God. He came to be their Savior. He came to be their Messiah. It was true for them. It was true for the Samaritan woman. And it is still true for you today. Because of this, how you look at Jesus and at your neighbors is different. When you look into the eyes of that person you're talking to, you see Jesus. You see their humanity, They are neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, Samaritan or Galilean, white or black, young or old. They are loved by God. They are your neighbor, made in the image of God. And they too need living water, which only Jesus can give. So come this morning. Receive the gift of God in his own Son's body and blood. This morning, you are God's honored guest. He gives of himself freely to you. He bids you to come, eat, and drink. He calls you his own people who now worship him in spirit and in truth. It is who you are, who he has made you to be in the waters of holy baptism. Amen. May the peace of God